Our last paper of the session is the Neurotology Fellow Award, Understanding the Uses of Computed Tomography for Otosclerosis Through Histopathologic Examination of Image Temporal Bones. The awardee was Dr. Alicia Quinnell. Unfortunately, she's unable to attend, and so Dr. Mike McKenna will be presenting.
How do you control this?
Right. Left goes forward.
Right. Okay. Goes back. Well, thank you, and good morning. For the last several years, we have routinely been obtaining high-resolution CT scans on all of the pathologic specimens that we obtain in our temporal bone otopathology laboratory. And then these scans are ultimately reformatted in the plane of section of these specimens, allowing us to directly compare the CT findings to the histologic findings for a number of different otologic disorders. It's proven to be a very valuable technique in understanding a lot of different forms of otopathology, including otosclerosis. As a group, we have nothing to disclose. I am presenting this paper this morning on behalf of our clinical fellow, Alicia Quinnell, who spearheaded this project and is the recipient of the fellowship award. As you can see, given her current condition, she's not permitted to fly, and I'm here on our her behalf. So CT is currently used in the study of otosclerosis, both for diagnosis, determination of the extent of disease, and probably even more importantly as we go forward, in helping us make certain treatment decisions as we work towards developing more effective ways of treating cochlear otosclerosis. Many of these drugs that we are considering have side effects greater than that which we see with sodium fluoride, and we want to be pretty certain about the diagnosis before we consider treating these patients. Let me say from the onset that we do not obtain CT scans typically for the diagnosis of otosclerosis. That's a clinical diagnosis. We may do it in unusual cases where the diagnosis is in question or where, when we're looking for some other cause of a potential conductive hearing loss. We do routinely use it looking for evidence of cochlear otosclerosis, which we'll talk about in a few minutes. Typical CT findings in otosclerosis are areas of hypolucency, decreased bone density in the otosclerosis compared to the surrounding otic capsule. This can extend around the cochlea itself and produce a haloed lucency around the cochlea, and we're able to evaluate new bone formation in both the oval and round window, as well as thickening of the footplate, all of which are typical features, CT features in otosclerosis. It's estimated that the sensitivity and specificity of CT in otosclerosis is quite high, in the range of 90%, but all of the studies which have been conducted to date have been based on a presumed clinical diagnosis based on history, physical, audiometric findings, and intraoperative findings. None have actually done a direct comparison to the histologic findings, with one exception, and that is a report that appeared several years ago. This is a single specimen obtained from a patient with a diagnosis of otosclerosis. It was subject to CT scanning and then processed by standard histologic technique. The CT scan was thought to be normal, but the histopathology clearly revealed a large otosclerotic lesion surrounding the cochlea, lending some doubt as to the sensitivity of CT in the diagnosis of otosclerosis. So we asked the question, how accurate is CT in the diagnosis when compared to the true histopathology? We looked at 10 temporal bones with otosclerosis. All of these specimens were non-operated so that the radiologist could not make the diagnosis based on evidence of prior surgery. We looked at 36 control specimens without otosclerosis and used two experienced blinded radiologists. The CT protocol was very similar to what we use in the routine evaluation of our patients. And as you can see, do I have a pointer up here? Oh, yeah, here we go. Actually, the correlation is quite high across this diagonal here, suggesting a very high sensitivity and specificity, as was previously reported. And just an example of this, this is the CT, corresponding CT scan. You can see this large lucent lesion here marked with the asterisk and the corresponding histopathologic section, which clearly demonstrates the same lesion. There were three cases where the radiologist thought that there was evidence for otosclerosis, but the histopathology did not confirm this, and all three were similar in that these were lesions that were a hypolucent or a lucent lesion just anterior to the oval window, relatively small lesion that in all three cases the corresponding histopathologic finding was a increased sort of vascular space, but clearly not evidence of otosclerosis. So this demonstrated that the CT is sensitive and specific for the diagnosis of otosclerosis, although we do see some false positives and false negatives, and that we can see small hypodense lesions anterior to the oval window that may not represent true otosclerosis. The next question that we asked was, how accurate is CT in identifying otosclerosis within specific sites within the temporal bone? And can we use CT scans to accurately determine whether or not an otosclerotic focus has penetrated the cochlear endosteum, which is important because that is the true pathologic correlate of sensory neural hearing loss in otosclerosis? For this, we used 18 specimens, some of which had been operated, as the diagnosis in this case was not to be in question by the radiologist. They all knew that these specimens contained otosclerosis, and they were asked to evaluate for the presence or absence of otosclerosis within three separate zones, the first zone being anterior to the oval window, the second being around the cochlea, and the third being the round window. And with this, the sensitivity and specificity was quite high, especially with respect to lesions anterior to the oval window. Pericochlear involvement was quite good, 9 out of 11. Round window, not quite as good, 3 out of 6, but I can tell you the three specimens that were CT negative contained very small foci of otosclerosis in the bone around the round window. And it's not surprising that we couldn't see it with the CT scan. And then the final question that we asked is, how good is CT scan in evaluating for evidence of endosteal penetration, which we believe is a very important question. And we had eight specimens with endosteal involvement by histology, and of these eight, five were clearly identified on CT scan, and three really not identified. And this is just an example of a agreement between CT and histology with respect to non-endosteal involvement. So here you can see the otosclerotic lesion. You see a layer of what appears to be good bone between the lesion and the cochlea. And when we look at the histopathology, we see that the otosclerotic focus comes up to the cochlear endosteal layer but does not seem to penetrate it. However, the converse was not necessarily true. We saw some lesions in which the lesion did not appear to penetrate the cochlear endosteum, but on fine structure histologic evaluation, we do see evidence of micro penetration in some areas where the otosclerosis does penetrate the cochlear endosteum, and then we see some early changes in the spiral ligament that we know are associated with cochlear otosclerosis and endosteal involvement. So the sensitivity of CT for otosclerosis is in part based on the quality and the size of the lesion, and the absence of endosteal margin involvement on CT does not rule it out. You can have very small areas where the lesion can penetrate the cochlear endosteum. We concluded from this that, like the prior clinical studies, this study demonstrates that CT is highly sensitive and specific for the diagnosis of otosclerosis. However, false positives and false negatives can occur, so it's good, but not perfect. And positive endosteal margin involvement on CT correlates with the histopathology. However, absence of involvement on CT does not absolutely rule out true involvement, as noted on the histopathology. I'd like to thank all of my co-investigators, and again, special tribute to Alicia, who performed this work. Thank you.